What is up, guys? Welcome to the Wise and Well podcast. I'm your host, Herman Lin. This is the show that helps make fitness and nutrition way simpler and more realistic so that you can improve your physical health without sacrificing your mental health. If you're new to the show and you enjoy it, hit subscribe after the episode so that you know when future episodes come out. Also, if you are looking to take your fitness to the next level, I offer one-on-one strength and nutrition coaching that is designed to help you build muscle, burn fat, and improve your overall relationship with fitness and nutrition. Just go to wiseandwellcoaching.com to learn more. Or just shoot me a DM on Instagram at wiseandwellcoaching. I will always respond to you. All right, guys, on to the episode. Zach, welcome back, man. How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going? It's good to be back. Things have been great.
You are now a married man, so congrats on that.
Yes, I am newly married, starting life. Things are great.
Awesome.
Feels good.
Awesome. So for people who have not heard your story, I'll direct them back to episode 13 when we had you on the first time. But for people listening, Zach's got a pretty incredible personal transformation. You lost, keep me honest here, over 200 pounds?
Yeah, 220 pounds.
220 pounds. Yeah. Incredible. And how much time again was it?
A bulk of that was done in a year. So like about 180 pounds of that in a year. Yeah. And then give or take the 20 or 30 pounds after that came over probably the course of the last 3 to 4 years.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you know, the first time you came on, you know, the whole episode, we talked about the mental changes you had to make before you even lost any of the weight, right? And then during it, the identity shift that you had to do, which I think is really important, because I think a lot of people think about what is the fad diet I'm going to do? You know, what is the, what do I need to eat? What foods do I need to avoid? What exercises do I need to do? And then, you know, like that stuff matters for sure. Like there's certainly tactics, which we'll get into today, but I think it's important that we did do an entire episode of the identity shift and the mental part, because that's almost as important, if not maybe more important. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think it's way more important actually, right? Because ultimately you got to believe that what you're doing is going to help you. And there's a lot of work that you have to do internally, right, to get you to that place where you feel comfortable with the uncomfortable. That's, I think, a big topic we talked about last time. And like, that's a, you know, naturally a very uncomfortable place for people to live, because you're exposing yourself to a lot of baggage, previous trauma, reasons why you got to the place that you got to. And then, you know, the hard work, which is like discovering yourself and figuring out, hey, I can actually do this. I can make a change for myself. And not only is it impacting me in a positive way, but it's impacting all of these people around me as well in a positive way. And that is like the contagious aspect of what a transformation of any sort looks like, is, you know, how you ultimately end up feeling. But you can't just get there by doing the tactical things, because if you don't have the mental fortitude to go along with it, you'll revert back to old habits. You'll revert back to old thought patterns and behaviors that may have been self-destructive or self-sabotaging. And so it is really important to like have a ground where you can stand on, and like a basic philosophy that you can continue to practice. And, you know, that is going to be different for everybody, but it starts first with doing a lot of the mental exploration and the digging into yourself. And yeah, I think that's why it was important that, and I'm glad we did talk about that a lot in the last podcast, because that's the starting point that most people oftentimes overlook. And then, you know, when they look back at what went wrong, you know, I think, and try to do it again, they make those tweaks along the way and they eventually get there. So if anybody heard that from the last time we spoke and got something out of that, great. Like that was the goal. Just pick one thing that resonated or stood out to you. And I hope that there's some other nuggets that we get to talk about today that will do the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, whether it's weight loss or anything else, that if you're trying to transform or just even trying to change about yourself and improve and do better, I think we often get so stuck in this fixed mindset, right? That we'll do something like that and you'll say, yeah, maybe I'll try to lose some weight. And it's like, already you lost that battle, right? Because you know going in, like, it's probably not going to work, but screw it. I'll try this little, like, 30-day challenge or whatever that this coach is doing online because it seems enticing. I kind of feel motivated right now, so why not? You know?
Right.
Versus, like, you have to be able to go in and say, I don't have to be this anymore. Like, I can be something different. I can do something different. I can have different habits. It's going to be really hard. You know, like, it's going to take time and there's going to be ups and downs. But I can do it at the end of the day. And I think just that piece, like, it doesn't have to be like I'm 100% doing this. There's no stopping me. I'm never, you know, nothing is going to let me fail. Like, I think it's just like, even just that slight glimmer of hope at the end that you possibly could change is all you really need. And a lot of people don't have that when they go into these things.
You need that in the days when it gets really hard, right? Like, in the days where you want to quit. That's like the belief system that you have to go back to and attach yourself to, that you can actually do this, and that, yeah, the results may not look the same, maybe a week over week. Maybe it's the way that your clothes feel, or the way that people, you know, the positive comments that people might make, right, towards the effort, or maybe the outward appearance of what you look like, that, you know, you're not going to necessarily see, or the demons that you're facing, you know, in your head around something as rapid as like a massive weight loss transformation. You know, it's sometimes really hard to actually get out of your own head and like look at yourself in the raw form and be like, yeah, these changes are happening. Just because, you know, you look at yourself every single day, you see the same you, and you're not going to notice those changes the same way that other people are going to notice those changes. And so in that journey, it's like it's not always up and to the right. It is, you know, this up and down with these peaks and valleys we talked about last time as well. And sometimes there's more valleys than peaks in a given month or in a particular season that you're going through this transition. And that's where in those moments you think about reverting back, or you think about how much easier it would be if you didn't move forward and continue doing the hard work that was necessary physically and emotionally to get you in the right place to be successful, the best chance for you to take on success. And so, the mental part, we could continue talking about it. I know you want to get into other things too, but it's just stressing that it is so important, and it is the glue, honestly, that kept me, at least in my personal experience, going forward. And even after that first year, right? Like, that first year, there was the most amount of weight loss that I had ever seen, right, at any given point. But I plateaued, and then my expectations sort of shifted during those moments of plateau. And those doubts start to creep back in of, well, the things that I learned to get me from 0 to 1 aren't necessarily now the same things that will take me from 1 to 2. And that is like, and that's where you have to kind of go back to the drawing board, and you have to re-strategize, right, about what is going to work for you and your new lifestyle as your lifestyle continues to evolve. Your habits begin to change, hopefully positively. And, you know, you just have to continue tweaking that along the way. There's no simple formula. And perhaps like the hardest part about weight loss and people who have a lot of weight to lose is that we want that magic pill. We want that like snap of a finger and be there tomorrow and be the ideal look, feel, weight, whatever it is that we want, that we know that we're capable of being or deserving of. It doesn't happen that way. It never happens that way. And like, that's just simply why there's such a high failure rate with people who are trying to lose weight or people to keep the weight off. So I was, you know, brushing up on some statistics before this, before we spoke today, and you know, the success rate of people who can keep the weight off, people who lose more than 100 pounds, is less than 5%. And so the odds are still stacked against me, even though I've got the plan in my head, I have the right mindset. According to the math and the statistics, there's a 95% chance that I will regain. And not just regain, you know, what I would call like seasonal changes, like 5-10 pounds here or there, like a significant regain, like another 50 pounds, 60 pounds, 70 pounds. It's not uncommon for people who've lost that weight either naturally or through bariatric surgery to gain that weight back quickly, because you have, there's like this confidence factor that starts to also creep in. We're like, oh, I got this. I know what I'm doing now. Like I can give myself more grace because I'm eating more intuitively now. But you still have to check yourself and you have to be real with yourself and just get yourself back on track, right? It's like, there's a moment in time along the journey where you're going to be more disciplined. And, you know, arguably, not even arguably, the reality of that was that I was very disciplined with my diet in that first 6 months, 8 months, a year, where I was counting calories and I was tracking macros, trying my best to track macros are really hard to do, as everyone probably listening knows. And trying to make sure that I was like sustaining myself with really good, healthy food and using it as an energy source rather than like as a coping mechanism. So a lot of things were a lot more strict and prescribed in, you know, that part of my journey. And as I became more comfortable with the lower weights and, you know, what my activity looked like and also what was going on in my life too, right? Like, cause I met my wife, my now wife, before I started that journey. I was single on my own. I had time to go work out twice a day if I wanted to, if I felt like I was able to do that, right? Or I could give myself additional time. But, you know, as life changes and things happen and people enter your lives and work changes, you know, you have to make concessions eventually, right? There's only so much time in a day. And that factors into your strategy as well. And, you know, in that, you start to make concessions or you start to become a little bit more loose and so the regain can happen, and it happens quite a bit. So it's something to watch out for sure. And if you can call those things out and you can see those things and you can be honest with yourself about those things, then it's pretty easy actually to get back on track. You know, some people might be like, okay, it's Tuesday. I messed up. I'm just going to wait till Friday. Or I'm going to wait till next Monday to get started again. People like to wait till like the start of the week or the start of the new month, or like, because it makes sense in our heads. We put these things in our head that like we think logically make sense, and we're rationalizing with ourselves and making, basically negotiating with ourselves on our value there, our value mindsets on those things. But if you can see those things and hopefully be the louder person in the room, and what I mean by that is like your head or like your physical voice, if your physical voice can outspeak what your head is sometimes saying or wants to say, it's really helpful for you to be able to pick up on those sort of triggers and then be able to action off those. So I do think about it in a very regimented way, but you have to look at it also from the journey, because in the, you know, the arc of a journey, there's going to be moments where you go hard and then you let back, and then you go hard and you let back, and throw exercise into that, right? The same way you think about how you strength train or how you, you know, build PRs or any of that, right? Is there are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days. You're going to go to the gym. You're going to feel like crap. You're going to be grateful though that you went to the gym, but you're also not going to maybe see the results, right? Or you're not going to lift as heavy as you lifted the previous week. And there's a number of factors that play into that. It doesn't mean that I'm digressing, right? It doesn't, or, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm not ultimately going to be up and to the right, as like I just like to put it. It's like, I'm just plotting all of these different dots in my head. And I'm looking for a trend line. I'm not looking for necessarily consistency going up and to the right. And so that is tough for people who have, you know, issues or who have issues with self-doubt or confidence, right? And there's, we can certainly dive into like the issues into why like people might have those. But yeah, it's all relative to where you're at in your journey.
Yeah. The whole piece around, you know, essentially being consistent, and I guess the best way to say it is, you know, I think people always try to clamor to like, I gotta be really good, right? Like I gotta stack as many good days as I can. And I think we just have a very, there's a large gap between what the reality looks like and what we imagine is needed to do something like this. Cause I think we need to be perfect or close to it. Right. Like everything's got to go right for this to happen. When the reality is like, just like you said, like there's just going to be bad days. There's going to be bad meals. Like it is what it is. And if you always have that mentality of, oh, well, screw it. know, like that's where you actually get in trouble. And I think people think it's the first part. They're like, oh, well, this already wasn't a good day. So whatever. Right. When the reality is like, no. It's what happens the next 48 hours.
Right.
Right. And I think
people
look at like how many good days I could stack is what's going to make the difference. When to me, like maybe this is an unpopular opinion, I actually think it's probably more about how many really bad days can you avoid, you know, especially in a row. Cause that's, you know, the biggest thing I see with clients, it's not this like rah, rah, every single day. Like we're breaking records all the time. We're hitting our goals. Like everyone's like pumped and excited. Those days happen. But what is way more common is they'll send me a note that says, I really did not want to go to the gym today. I went, kind of went through the motions, got a nice little sweat though, and I feel way better now, you know? Or they'll say, you know what? We went to dinner and we got dessert, but we split it because last night we went out again too. And I just didn't want to do that again. Like it's all these like little things that's like, essentially I'm just going to make a little bit of a better, bad decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's like all about showing and trusting yourself, right? Like, because you can make the argument that if, at least in my situation, right? Like at 420 pounds, like not a way to live whatsoever, but arguably also like saying no to dessert every single time is not a way to live either, right? Like what gives you happiness and what fuels your happiness, right? For me, I have a sweet tooth. And so like, that's something that just is a part of me. And like, I'm embracing that and I'm just knowing when, you know, what's now appropriate. Like it's not, appropriate to have 3 Haagen-Dazs ice cream bars for me, right? But it is okay to indulge in that, you know, if I want to from time to time, or even if I wanted to have a dessert with dinner after dinner, right? Every day, like I could do that if I wanted to, right? Because you're trusting yourself. And you're also knowing inputs, you know, your inputs and your outputs. So, in order for me to be okay with, having the lifestyle that I want to have and the foods that I want to eat and enjoy from time to time, you have to input a certain way to accommodate that when you're going through a weight loss journey. So it should never be like this totally restrictive thing. Right. Because that leads you back to bad habits. That leads you back to binge eating. That leads you back to self-destructing things that aren't good for you. Right. It should never, ever, ever be a part. Restriction should never be a part of the vocabulary when it comes to this, because the moment you start putting those types of rules, then you're letting basically those negative rules outweigh the positive rules that you're putting in your life and the positive reinforcements of the behaviors that you want to instill in yourself. And giving them a fair shake at breathing and being able to actually help you cope and manage the journey, basically until you say you're done. And what I'm learning too is like the journey is never over, right? Like this is going to be something that I'm going to live with the rest of my life, and things that I'm going to have to work through, right? And, habits that I'm going to always have to continue to remind myself about. And so despite like having a very successful overall journey so far, it's not that I forget the things that I learned in that first part of the stage or even in the second part of the stage, because seasons change and there are different parts of life that come in, work gets really busy, right? Like the last thing that sometimes is on my mind is like making sure that I have a really nutritious meal, like ready to go to eat like on those busy days. And so sometimes convenience takes over, right? But it like, when convenience takes over in those moments, you just got to balance it out on the other end, right? And then I don't feel guilty. I don't feel bad. I also know when I'm putting into my diet, into my exercise as well. And I combine those things together and I give myself a lifestyle. And that flexible lifestyle is, I think, the goal for everybody who's in my position, where it's like you can trust yourself enough to eat intuitively and to exercise intuitively. But certainly, I think at the beginning, and probably what you want to go into more, is the not intuitive part of this, which is like, okay, what are the like programmatic things that I did to make sure that I was staying on track or I was on course, especially in those critical first call them 6 months of the start of my journey.
And I love to start with because you kind of said, you know, the zero to one, right? And then everything kind of changed and then one to two was a total different set. So like, I would love to start at zero. Like what would you say if you were to look back are like one or two things at the very, very beginning were kind of the two pieces that you're like, okay, this is starting to get some momentum when I do this.
So I think at the very beginning, because this is the part where we see the highest amount of failure in folks who try to lose a lot of weight, is you're not going to notice a lot of changes right away, even though you might be losing a lot of weight. So what we're looking for in this first stage is sort of like a physical validation, or we're looking for like a physical change to be seen, because that's like your proof of concept. So like I referring back to like the story that I told in the podcast last time, that first aha moment I had was like, I stepped on the scale and I was down like 20 pounds and I hadn't been doing it for very long. And, you know, you have that like moment where you stare at yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh my God, I'm doing it. And like, it's actually happening. I've never actually seen this type of progress before. And like, that is really important, but it's also the hardest to see at the very beginning. So, and your frame of like timelines on how long these things take are also a little skewed, just depending on, you know, your circumstances and the environment that you're around too. And so you may have to reset those expectations with yourself, especially at the beginning, so that you don't let yourself down. And then by default, then you quit, right? Or by consequence, you quit because you've now let yourself down. You've proven to yourself, I can't do this. I'm a loser. I can't even lose, you know, 10 pounds or 15 pounds or whatever it is. Well, you can, right? You just haven't stuck with it long enough. And like anything good in life, you have to give it time. And that's a huge lesson that I learned through this too, is that nothing worth having comes easy. Like that's very cliche and cheesy to say, but it's so true. And especially in this context that, you know, I couldn't be where I'm at today if I hadn't, you know, given myself the trust and the faith in those first couple of months to just let it all go and just see where it went. Right. Cause you know, you get to a point, a lot of people get to a point where they're desperate, right? Or they get to a point where they feel like they're desperate. They're back up into a corner. It's like, okay, well, what else do I have to lose now? Like my options are, and this gets extreme, but like my options are eventual death. Or my option is to see if I can try and change it. And, you know, that realization and aha moment comes at different points for everybody. But, you know, when you sort of realize that that's like kind of the ultimatum that you're in with yourself is, hey, I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing now. And statistics say that, you know, I won't live to past 30 or 35. Like, am I willing to take that gamble and take that risk? Or do I value myself and do I respect myself enough? And do I respect the other people around me that care about me enough to try and take care of myself and fix the problems that exist and end the vicious cycle and that pattern of behavior? And hopefully not share those bad behaviors with the people around me or in the future, right? If I have kids and, you know, you want to always instill like these good habits and these good practices with those people too, that you care about and love too. So,
yeah,
you got to have that again. Like it comes back all to that moment of inflection and those periods where you're really thinking about these things and how they impact others and how you feel and how it impacts you.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say were like those first 20 pounds? Like, what would you say were the first couple of big dietary or exercise changes you made?
Yeah. So I think for the first time I was consistently going to the gym and I didn't know what I was doing at all. So how this kind of came to be was, at the time I was living with a couple of buddies, graduated, we're out of school, but I was living with some college friends. We're still really good friends today. And one of them was actually, you know, setting up something similar to what you do. And, you know, was looking to help and looking to see like, you know, how he could apply his knowledge and in what he's learned to help himself to other people. And so I became sort of like reluctantly a guinea pig test study for him, even though like I had this experience with another friend who is like that wake up call for me, which was like, I love you. Like, I don't want to lose you. Like, I don't want you to die. And like, so like that happened. And then like sort of this fell in my lap. And so for that, for, you know, I think for those listening, it's like, if you can put yourself in an environment where there's people where you can learn from, right? And be open to learning, be receptive to feedback, right? Try and put the ego down as much as you possibly can. I understand and I know how terrifying and frightening it is to go into the gym for the first time, especially at a larger weight, right? And the psychology and like this, how scary that can be for someone in my old position or maybe some of your listeners' positions. It's like, depend on those who like, look out for the helpers, right? Like there are people that want to help. And so for me, I was able to find someone that was within my network that wanted to help. And I learned a lot, you know, and that was like my accountability too, because I wasn't at the place yet where I could trust myself, with like making sure that I went to the gym, consistently, right? To follow like the plan that I thought would make sense for me at that time. I didn't know anything about weightlifting. I didn't know anything about like, you know, this progressive overload training, like all of that comes later. And so the other part of this too, is I was at the beginning wanting to be at the same place that my friends were at, you know, and with what they knew and how they were training, but like my body wouldn't be able to physically handle that. And that was frustrating to me, right? Because I wanted to be able to keep up, but I realized that like, okay, it's like, it's all foundational. It's building blocks. So the place that I'm at today with how I exercise and work out at the gym and what I know is like way more advanced than it's not that advanced anyway, but it's way more advanced than what it had to have been at the beginning. At the beginning, it was all about showing up, being accountable to yourself and being consistent.
Yeah.
That was it. You try to like overcomplicate it. And, you know, and you can go and do the MyFitnessPals and, you know, use the tools that you have at your disposal to help you do those things and to keep you on track. Another thing for me was like, I know I needed to drink a lot of water, right? And like, that was, you know, you hear the health benefits of drinking a lot of water, and I wasn't drinking a lot of water back then. I was probably also very dehydrated. And so I had all these other like adjacent, like accountability, tools helping me build a healthier version of myself at that time. And so if you can explore those different, you know, apps on your phone or different tools that are at your disposal to help you do the mundane tasks or like the things that you're not really good at doing, do it, right? If you can automate that, you know, if you can autopilot something, like absolutely, I encourage that. If you have the, you know, the savviness technologically to be able to do it, that helps a lot. Or just ask a friend. That can help you too, because there's a lot of resources out there that are great online.
When you first started going to the gym, one, were you terrified of going to the gym? And two, what were, so in the, cause you said you've advanced tremendously since the beginning, like in the beginning, when you first started going, like what were the exercises you were doing?
Yeah. So really it was like the fundamentals. And so it was like, I would walk, maybe for the first time I walked into the gym, I didn't know what the appropriate weight was to start with, like bicep curls, right? I didn't know like how powerful I was. You know, people assume that like, you know, the bigger you are, the stronger you are. Well, that's only true to a certain extent, right? Like, because my muscles were very weak actually. So I wasn't super strong. And so, you know, when I went in there, I tried to focus on the basics, of course, and I needed a lot of that help. And, you know, and so I, you know, and through by way of like my friend who was there kind of showing me the proper ways to actually use the equipment or, you know, use the weights that were at my, you know, my disposal. And then I focused a lot on like at that moment, a lot of HIIT workouts, right? So something that helped me elevate my heart rate a little bit more as well to help me with muscular endurance, to get me not so out of breath so that I could take on harder workouts or I could extend my workouts for longer, because at the beginning I was probably gassed by 15 minutes. It wasn't like, these were very short bursts. I was like showing up to the gym, getting in a really quick workout and a sweat, which was a huge effort for me, but it wasn't from a time perspective. And then setting goals. So, you know, I knew that like eventually, like I wanted to get to a place where I could work out at the gym for 45 minutes or for an hour. If I wanted to, right? Or take, you know, and without feeling completely exhausted and completely drained. So that's what I tackled first. I was trying to figure out, okay, how can I make myself feel better so that when I show up to the gym, I can perform better? But to answer your question about being scared, absolutely. I was, you know, and there are still some times when I go to the gym and I still am intimidated, right? Like, especially if I'm trying to do something new, like you're always going to be pushed into a level of that uncomfort, no matter where you are. And, you know, also you go to a place where you don't know a lot of people, you know, for me, you know, the community aspect was really important for me when I was at those places, because that was also another level of accountability. There were friendships that were made there. It made me going to those places, it made me feel more comfortable going to those places because there was familiarity there. And so all of that combined is, you know, what I focused on sort of in that beginning phase. And definitely took advantage of the social aspect to help me overcome my fear of being scared, if that makes sense. So, because yeah, everyone became almost family at that point, over there, and was bought into my goals and there to support me through, you know, the good days and the bad days and the days I didn't want to show up. And so that was something that I focused on for sure, was having a good support system, not only outside of the gym, but inside of the gym too. And those groups sometimes were the same. They were, and sometimes they were mutually exclusive. So, if you have the opportunity to do that, I recommend it, because I think it's really helpful in terms of showing up for yourself and showing up for others.
I love that you started with going to the gym. And I think you see a lot of people out there talk about, you know, exercise is not the best thing for weight loss, right? Like people will say it's all done in the kitchen. It's all diet. It's all nutrition. And tactically speaking, like, you know, looking at the numbers, yes, that's true. We don't burn that many calories to the point where like it's truly going to help you lose a ton of weight. It comes from a diet change and eating less calories. But that being said, what you just described is so incredibly important for behavior change, because you talked about a couple of things. One, you built an accountability network, right? Like you have your friends that you're going to the gym with. You also have this whole new, you know, whether they're physically holding you accountable, you're in this network of people in this giant space that, I mean, people talk about a gym being intimidating, and I get it. Like the first time you go, for sure. But when you're there, it is one of the only places where literally every single person there is trying to better themselves, right? And so to have that surrounding you is incredibly powerful. And then when you start going, one, movement and exercise in general creates energy and creates motivation. You know, it's not the opposite way around. Everyone says, how do I get motivated enough to exercise? Like, no, you got to exercise first, and then it'll make you motivated right. to do other things. But most importantly, you started showing yourself that you could do something, right? Like, I think that's where it all comes back to, is you made a commitment to yourself. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to come back tomorrow, right? And I'm going to do it next week. And stack, like you said, it takes some time to see weight come off, right? So in the beginning, you need to have other wins that you could physically feel how it feels to do them, right? And so to be able to say, I said I'm going to go to the gym, and for the last month I've been doing it, you know, 3 or 4 days a week or whatever it is, that makes you start believing that you could do a lot of other hard things, right? And that is a critical point to understand, I think.
Absolutely. Like you said it so well, because it all builds off of each other, right? And so the hardest, like losing that first 100 pounds in the journey, in the grand scheme of things, wasn't the hardest thing that I actually had to do, right? That was just like the almost like a byproduct or a positive consequence of, you know, a lot of the things that I was doing day to day to actually get to that goal. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like proving to myself that I have and I can build for the first time in my life some consistency around positive, good habits, building good habits, and forming really healthy relationships with myself and with other people. And so, and then like what ends up helping, I think, get over like the fear and the intimidation factor and also the doubt in yourself is that you ultimately, if you follow that playbook, you will feel better, right? You will naturally feel better. You will chemically feel better. You will, and those things all together, you know, your body is in more of a harmony. I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to really get too deep on that, but you know what I mean? Like when everything is doing what it's supposed to be doing and you wake up in the morning and you don't feel drained and you feel excited to like attack day, that that is actually like a huge impetus to like future success down the line, right? Because then you actually know what you're capable of feeling and how vastly different it was from how you probably felt a month ago or 2 months ago, right? You don't even know, like when I was that heavy, I thought that's how everyone felt, like inside, right? Like this feeling of just always being fatigued or, you know, just always feeling like a little just under below the water, right? And until like I actually felt what it was like to have like all these endorphins from working out, the, you know, post runner's high, if you will, like that you get from exercising and for taking care of your body. Until I actually felt that for the first time, I'm like, oh, that's actually really addicting, that feeling. Like that's a great place that I want to be. Like my mind is clear, I can focus at work, I feel better, I don't feel so tired all of the time. And also like I'm, you know, any sort of like depressive thoughts or any sort of negativity that you might have, like just slowly starts to dissipate naturally. And so, you know, for folks who are listening as well, you know, that may be heavier on a whole bunch of medication, you know, as you get healthier, right, your need for that medication actually goes away almost. And it's really nice to like chip away at that too over time and realize that your body is a very powerful vessel that will take care of itself if you take care of it too. And a lot of my ailments, my physical ailments, went away, you know, as the weight started coming off. And so that was also like another driving factor behind, okay, or another motivating factor rather, to this goes just beyond like what I see when I step on the scale at this point, right? Like this is redefining my future. And so that's such a cool realization to see. And anyone who has been in my situation and or is still in that situation, I hope that they get to realize that and experience that, because that was a huge turning point for me.
Yeah, you don't realize that you could feel better until you start feeling better, right?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. I think people look at exercise as, oh, I can burn calories, I can build muscle, or I could lose a bunch of weight. But the reality, like the biggest benefits probably come from the mental side. And, you know, there's studies that show that their exercise is a pretty effective at reducing anxiety symptoms, depression symptoms, all these things that you don't realize have been holding you back from making some of these changes. So to be able to start feeling that, like it goes a really long way for everything else. What would you say then, from a diet perspective, what were some of the biggest changes early on?
Yeah. So pretty terrible eating habits going into this. Obviously, there's no secret as to how I got in the position where I was at. So like that was like sitting down with myself and saying, okay, like reviewing first, I put it all out there. Like, what does a typical day and a typical week look like for me? And like, also, what are my extracurricular habits like? Right. So I had to do that exercise. So I'm in my mid to late 20s at this point, single, going out all the time with friends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, probably drinking involved in any and all parts of those days, late nights, grinding at work, trying to prove myself, you know, kind of climbing the corporate ladder. It was just like a recipe for disaster. Right. So it's like I'm overworking myself. I'm eating McDonald's or whatever is convenient because I don't go grocery shopping because I'm a bachelor. And like, I don't know the first thing about going into a grocery store. I didn't really ever start like going to the grocery shop for myself until I started cooking my own food, and which makes sense, right? But I never cooked for myself before starting this journey, right? Or cooked something healthy and nutritious for myself. Like, it didn't come out of a box, out of a freezer. And so like, it was like doing that visual study of, okay, what is like the day in the life look like for me? What did it look like for me? And like, what did I eat? And then what can I replace that with that's either a healthy alternative or just something completely different? And like, now it's like, what I would do at that time is like, okay, I wanted ice cream as an example. I would opt for the Halo Top, right? Or like, it was, you know, really trendy a couple of years ago, like all of those healthy-ish versions of ice cream, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's helpful to find those. And now I'm like, if I want the ice cream, if I'm going to eat the ice cream, I'm going to eat the real ice cream and I'm going to enjoy the real ice cream. in that part, it was really important for me to find those healthier substitutions that would make that transition easier for me, right? Because, you know, it's like the all or nothing mentality applies the other way too. It's like, if you go from like all of the food that you love and that's probably not very good for you to one that is like all greens and all grains and all protein, nothing else, and, you know, salt and some seasoning and that's it, you know, then where's the hook, right? How do I make this fun for myself, right?
Yeah.
And so it was really cool at the beginning because I kind of saw it as an opportunity to get creative and figure out like, okay, like what is out there? And, you know, Instagram is a cool resource for that. TikTok now, I'm sure, like you can just type in like, you know, these healthy substitutes, right? And you can probably find a ton of videos and ton of content out there that will give you what maybe you're used to, but in a much healthier way. And so like that was for the familiarity aspect of eating. There was, you know, obviously a big push there to figure out how I could make unhealthy things healthy. But I just tried to keep it very simple, you know, and try to realize what my habits were as well, like around snacking. Because I, you know, for me, it wasn't always like I was eating like these big meals or I was overeating in a lot of cases. A lot of the time I was just like snacking a lot and unnecessarily. And you don't realize like those little moments, you go into the pantry and you grab a handful of chips and you come back and, you know, an hour later you do the same thing. It's like, well, you know, every handful of chips you grab is just like, you know, more and more just that you're burying yourself there. And you don't realize it though. You're not factoring it in when you think back at your day. And I'm like, yeah, for dinner I had a cheeseburger and for lunch I had a fried chicken sandwich. It's like, well, I didn't really count like the two cheese sticks and the, you know, bag of chips and the three Cokes that I had as well. Right.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
all those little things also add up. And so, yeah, so, you know, and I cut out, of course, a lot of sugary drinks, you know, try to focus on getting as much water intake as possible. So, you know, challenge myself to drink more water every single day. You know, got really into, I needed some flavor personally. Like you get sick of water, just like you get sick of chicken and rice. It's like, you need something to change it up from time to time to keep it fresh and to keep you excited about doing what you're doing, right? So it's like, okay, go do the Crystal Light option, or hey, if I want to even be daring one day, I'll have a Diet Coke. It's like not going to kill you at the end of the day to do those things if that's like what you need to satiate yourself and get you through the humps of like self-doubt in that dieting, right? Because it's really easy, again, especially now, to open up my phone, scroll on DoorDash and, you know, get something not so great for me at the, you know, and I don't even have to leave my house now. Right. So how do I get myself through those temptations is by not restricting myself and then never restricting myself in my diet. I just found alternate ways to get the same enjoyment and fulfillment out of food just in a healthier way. And if, you know, there's going to be a lot of content out there. There's going to be a lot of people that you can look at and, you know, having fun with it, like tweaking your own recipe. I love like finding a recipe online and then making it my own, right? And then that would ultimately be my meal prep for the week, right? So I would meal prep out my lunches or, you know, or I would maybe do like 1 week, I'm going to meal prep my lunches. 1 week, I'm going to meal prep my dinners. I just wanted to get into the kitchen more. I wanted to get more comfortable with cooking and do it in a way where I wasn't eating the same thing over and over and over again. So, you know, because I've been there and I know you have too, probably, like,
yeah,
you get sick and tired of eating the the same prep all the time. And so getting some variety in there is helpful, and it's not going to hurt you.
I love that approach for many reasons. But I think importantly, you're finding ways to enjoy your new lifestyle, right? And to still enjoy food in a different way. And I think the approach you take is a very reasonable one. You just said, I'm just going to eat similar things, but just make them a little bit better, right? And I think this is where it becomes so important, because we have to think about it from two perspectives. There's, look, it's calories comes down to numbers, right? Like, all these foods have different amount of calories. And our goal at the end of the day is to make sure that when we stack up this giant puzzle together, it's less than it was before. Like, that is the ultimate goal that will get you to your physical goal, right? Like, that's one part of it. The other part now is, this is very individualistic on how we get to that goal, right? Because I think it's important how you talked about, okay, in the beginning, you had to go to a Halo Top, right? Because you're not trusting yourself with a pint of Ben and Jerry's at that point, right? Where right now you're like, hey, no, I'd rather just have a couple bites of Ben and Jerry's and put it away, right? And I think you see so many people out there that will always talk about, oh, well, you know, screw the fake ice cream, just do the real thing, like, satisfy your cravings. And I'm like, I agree with that if you are at the point in your journey where you can do that, right? But in the beginning, like, you need to understand that by yourself. You need to understand that if everyone says, no, just eat the real thing, and whenever you do, you eat the whole pint, that's probably not a good idea in that moment, right?
It's a terrible idea.
And that's okay. Like, that's okay. And so I think that's so important to be really reflective of yourself. And like I love the idea of you described it as kind of being less snacky, you know, and removing some of those. And I'm the same way. I start for myself when I did a cut, and for other clients too. Like, a lot of the first things that we'll do is we start with meal boundaries, you know, kind of establishing, like, these are the times that I eat. And it doesn't have to be intermittent fasting. It doesn't mean like you have to do like this 8-hour window or anything like that, but it's pick, how many meals do you want to have in the day, right? You want to have 3 meals? You want to have 4 meals? Okay, cool. Now, in between that, while we're in this fat loss phase, let's try to minimize what happens in between those times, right? Mm-hmm. Because the reality is, those times are so hard to control what happens if it is just like a, you know what, I'll just grab some chips in between meetings, or, I'm cleaning up my kid's plate and there's some chicken nuggets left on there, right? Like, those little things, as much as we feel like it's, oh, well, you know, it's just one little bite, like, who cares? Well, when you have 25 one little bites in a day, all of a sudden those things add up. And I think that's so important to understand. Like, for me, I'm not bringing out a bag of chips if I'm trying to lose weight, because I know what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that about myself.
Right.
But ice cream, I can have a couple of bites and put it away. That's just the way I'm kind of wired. And so I think learning that about yourself too becomes so critical in this juncture, because it doesn't have to be like, I think this all goes back. What's so important is, it's not about eliminating all carbs. It's not about, like, taking out this one food out of your diet. It's about understanding the big picture and what works for you best to kind of put together this giant puzzle together.
Yeah, and the puzzle can be put together in a number of different ways too, which is why I know that it's why people get so in their heads and so confused about this, right? And there's so many other factors, of course, that play into that. For me, I was living by myself, and so I could actually control the food that was in my house at any given time. But let's just say you live with a significant other, right? And that person doesn't necessarily need to be in the same lifestyle as you. If they choose to support you and, you know, go on this journey with you and be there, like, that's awesome if you can find someone like that, but certainly not the expectation. And then, or if you do have, you know, little kids at home, right, who don't need to be on the same diet as you, or shouldn't be on the same diet as you, right, that makes things challenging, because then you've got, you've got basically all this temptation around you. And so that's where, like, the creativity and learning about, like, what your boundaries are, as you put it, is really, really a great tactic as well. Something that I would do, just, I don't think I've ever thought of it in that way, but it was looking at like trends and behaviors around what I ate and when I ate it. And so like, if you can also give yourself some consistency in that too, then your body also learns to operate around that consistency. I'd say like the another thing that I struggled with a lot at the beginning with this calories in, calories out discussion is like, yes, I get that fundamentally, but the 12 hours of the day that I'm up, right, does not mean that's when the calories are being entered and when they're being replenished, right? Or they're being depleted and they're being replenished, right? Like that happens on a 24-hour clock. You know, the effort that I put into my exercise or the food, the energy I'm consuming from the food that I eat doesn't get processed on that same timeline. And so it was, you know, it's a good general rule of thumb, right? Like to know in a given day what you're expending versus what you're needing. But that was a hard concept for me to grasp at the very beginning. I was like, oh yeah, Well, I guess when I do sleep, my body is actually burning calories still. Well, how do I actually then, and then I think about like, how do I get my body to burn more calories when I'm sleeping? What are the types of foods that I need to eat or not eat? And when do I need to eat next? Or when should I stop eating so that my body is equipped to actually help me while I'm not even doing anything, right? And so getting into a little bit more of the science behind just times of the day that I wanted to eat. And I never did intermittent fasting. I maybe tried it a couple times and it just didn't work with my lifestyle. And but I know a ton of people that have found a lot of success in intermittent fasting. For me, it was about consistency in the meals that I was eating and when I was eating them. So I wanted to, you know, wake myself up every morning at 7 a.m. and like then I, you know, would do a fasted workout and then I would eat my breakfast, right? And my breakfast would be eaten at the same time. It's like you have to get yourself into a habit, in a routine, and you know, make sure that your body isn't thinking, okay, mate, what are you doing? Like you're messing me up. You're changing up the times when you're eating, you're changing up the times when you're working out, you're changing up the times when you're stressed and when you're not. It's like, help me help you. It's like basically what my body was telling me, right? And so me helping my body was giving it that consistency that it needed to be able to function efficiently.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's those pieces that I think what's really important to highlight is when you eat, you know, and the types of food you eat physiologically doesn't necessarily really matter in terms of like the total amount of calories. You can eat at 11 at night, you can eat at 8 a.m. The calories still count as the same calories. And then the foods, some foods will help you burn a little bit more, like protein and fiber and whole foods in general. It's really minimal from like a total calorie standpoint, but behaviorally they can make a pretty big impact of if you eat late at night, you know, if you eat early in the morning or whenever it is, you know, maybe you skip a meal and then all of a sudden you get to dinner. I have a new client who we were just talking about that he's been fasting. We started tracking calories and literally on day two, he's like, oh my God. He's like, I just realized how many calories I eat in dinner because I'm so hungry by the time I get to dinner. Okay. Maybe we should eat some breakfast, right? Like maybe we should move away from the fasting for a little bit because it seems like it's kind of backfiring on you. And for other people, the fasting works fine. You know, I think that's, that's the ultimate thing is like you have to assess these behaviors to yourself. And same things with the types of food you eat, right? Like if you're like, hey, whenever I eat, you know, just a plate of French fries for lunch, I'm hungry and I'm sleepy like 30 minutes later. Oh, when I add, you know, some grilled steak and some vegetables on the side, I actually feel fine. I feel pretty full till dinner. Like those are really, really important things to ask. Even though what I just described, the second one probably even has more calories, right? Because you're added food. But it's keeping you full and you're not eating like 2 hours later because now you're all of a sudden hungry again.
Yeah. It's like I've seen this infographic of like 100 calorie cookie and 100 calories of strawberries. Right. And it's like the volume that you get in 100 calories of strawberries is going to keep you fuller. Well, and this is probably a bad example, but it's going to keep you fuller for longer, right? Than say 100 calories of a cookie, which is probably a quarter of a cookie. Maybe depending on what cookie you like to eat, but like it's non-comparable, right? And so for me, thank you for bringing this up. It was about hey, maximizing volume, minimizing calories.
Yes. Right?
And so looking for a replacement of those foods that would do that for me. And then just like, if any take away anything from like the zero to one, it's you're going to make mistakes and it's okay. Right. Like that's like the thing that I have also as someone who's a perfectionist naturally. I'm very type A, very hard on myself and self-aware. It's like give yourself that grace and be flexible with yourself. And, you know, what you're doing is new. It's like learning anything else. You're the newbie. You're just starting out. You're going to make mistakes and it's okay. Because you have tomorrow and you have the day after that. In fact, you don't even have to wait till tomorrow. You have the from the moment that you realize that you messed up to course correct that and learn from it, right? Is I think in that stage, if you're in a position where you can take notes and collect feedback on yourself and what you're doing and see every maybe loss as an opportunity for you to learn something or gain something from that lesson, then that's how you apply that and iterate that. And you can apply this to anything in life, right? Like it's not exclusive to weight loss. This is just like learn a lesson from something that didn't go right. Right. And then figure out, okay, what do I need to do the next time so I don't have that same problem again? And you just learn. And so it's okay. You're going to fall. And things aren't going to go expected and you're going to look at the mirror and you're going to look like, you know, there are going to be days that this dysmorphia comes in and you're like, I look like I gained 20 pounds, not like I lost 20 pounds. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And so you're going to have those days and those moments and just realize that they're natural and they're fleeting and they go away. And as long as you stay confident in what you're doing and you believe in your plan, you believe in yourself, it really will start to take effect. And then from there, it starts to snowball and it really starts to actually expedite itself, right? Because like, those first couple of call it weeks, maybe a few months where you're really showing some signs of consistency and you're building better habits. It's like almost like day and night. I took off my jeans going to bed and the next morning I put them on and they literally wouldn't stay on my waist. It's like, how does that happen? But it literally does sometimes. Those moments happen for different people at different times. But it eventually comes. So consistency is everything.
That is what's so tough, but it's such an important point because unfortunately the progress is going to be really hard to notice while it's happening. Cause at the end of the day, you live day by day, you go through each day and most days you're like, I can't eat that, or I probably shouldn't. And it's like, and without seeing the immediate results of it, which is super hard because you need delayed gratification, right? Which many of us are not good at. And so it's important as you're going that, like you said, I think it's so important to admit that, like, hey, you're gonna fail at some point. Like you're gonna take a step back, not every day. Like you're gonna have days, maybe, probably throughout, it's for how long it takes. You might have weeks where you're like, ah, shit. That was not good. And you have to be able to always remember, like, it's never too late to turn the steering wheel back. Right. And that's the most important part. Cause I think people will go, they'll have a bad weekend and then it's kind of like, well, screw it. I already messed up. But the reality is like, you can't mess up. You can't mess up as long as you always just turn around and keep going. And at the end of the day, if you look at the course of a year, if you have 200 good days and 100 bad days, you made progress, right? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, you still doubled your chances for success, right?
Yeah.
In that example. And yeah, it's so true. But getting to a place where you can have faith and trust yourself, that takes a lot of work for sure, especially in that delayed gratification process where you're not seeing things come off as quickly as you want to. The doubts start coming in your head. I'm probably not doing this right. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not built for this, right? Like those are all natural feelings, right? And so, if you didn't have them, I would say there's something probably wrong.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's so year one, you know, a lot of it sounds like if I were to sum up the biggest changes is one, you got into the gym and you got into the kitchen. I think those are huge. If you're eating out a lot, right? If you're not working out at all, like just being able to do those consistently is going to make a significant difference. Like I think those are super important. Two was proving to yourself that you can do this, right? Like consistently and being able to learn new things and be okay with being bad at them in the beginning is a super, super important thing. And then I think the last piece is starting to recognize some of your own behaviors and tendencies so that you can kind of either watch out for them or plan for them strategically is what you're kind of, you start figuring out in the beginning of this. So then you said you got to a place where you kind of plateaued for a little bit. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where some people I think are going to be really interested in this year one, because they're like, I got to get started. A lot of people are going to be interested in this second part now, because this is where, you know, regardless if you're losing 200 pounds or if you're losing 20 pounds or whatever it is, I think people feel the pain of this, like, I hit this plateau and I don't know what to do now part. Right. Yeah. So do you want to talk about that part?
Yeah. And like, it's such a mind game, let me tell you, because this is like where it's a lot of trial and error, right? It's a lot of figuring out what works for you and what works for your body. And then it also is a gut check too, because it's the same rules still apply, right? You know, it in terms of caloric intake, right? So there's something is skewed still, right? In a plateau. And that just means that you either have to make adjustments on what you're taking in, or you have to make adjustments on the energy that you're expending out, right? And so for that as well, like, it wasn't as simple as like just going to the gym for 30 minutes more. It was actually exploring other ways to move my body. And I'm talking from an exercise perspective now. It was like actually branching out and doing different things that I wasn't always comfortable with and getting like moving my body in different ways. And so like in this next phase, like I got really, really into outdoor bike riding. And it's like something that I, for the first time, was, you know, 100 pounds lighter, was able to get on a bike again and like move my body. And also, you know, as a consequence of being heavier, my knees are not that great. My ankles aren't that great. And so like, I wanted to get some cardio and I wanted to like, you know, work on that too. And running wasn't in the cards for me. Just, I've never been a good runner. I never probably will be a good runner, but it has a lot to do with the way my body feels from being as heavy as I was. And so I found biking, which was much easier on my knees, and still gave me an opportunity to be thinking while I was exercising, which is something that I loved as well. Is like I could put my headphones in and be in my thoughts and in my head and reflecting or thinking about anything else, you know, that I wanted to, and still get a great workout in. And then I could work towards like obviously different accomplishments with that too. And so a lot of like what got me through the plateaus wasn't focused on like the food and the exercise, like at a higher level. It was actually, okay, how can I optimize what I'm doing already, the good habits that I already have, and continue to expand that and, you know, change things up a little bit. We all get, once like you build a tolerance to some degree and to the things that you do on a daily basis, the foods that you eat, the medicines that you take, like you just, your body built a tolerance to those things. And so if I could change that up, and I noticed that that helped me get unstuck from the many plateaus that I've had. It's not just I've had one plateau. It's like, I just have plateaus from time to time. And like, that's just a part of it, right? When you're trying to lose weight, and the fluctuation of that too. The first 20 pounds to lose were really hard, but the last 20 pounds were a lot harder, actually. Just getting to that final mile of where I wanted to be, because also like the less weight that you have, you know, that obviously changes how much energy that you need to output to lose the same amount of, to output the same amount of energy, right? So when I was 420 pounds, I could walk two laps around a track field and probably burn more calories at that point than the high intensity workouts that I'm doing now for a longer period of time.
That is, so, that point is so important, because I don't think people realize this part, that the heavier you are, the more calories you burn, right? Like your body requires more energy to just maintain daily living. And so this is where I think people get so confused and get very frustrated. And then I think this is where you get so many people who come out of the woodworks and try to sell you, you know, all these like, oh, you got a broken metabolism, or we got to reset your hormones, like all these things. But the reality is that when you lose weight, at your lower weight, you just burn less calories naturally. Like forever, you will burn less calories at a lower weight. That's what it is. Someone who is 200 pounds will burn less calories than someone who's 400 pounds. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And so when you get there, you know, you're going to get to a point where like, oh, now I got to eat less. Right. And so when you're starting out, like you said, the most simple switches of just, I'm just not going to eat out, or I'm just not going to eat, you know, these snacks during the day, are going to be a lot less calories. Right. But then at some point it does get to a point where, all right, now I got to make some tougher decisions. You know, like this is going to get to a point where like, I am cooking a lot of my meals. I am, you know, I'm eating pretty well, I think, and I'm exercising, and it's still staying the same. So like now it's, I gotta make even some other calls that I didn't need to before.
And I'd say too, like when you get to the place where you're hitting a plateau, I also recommend like talking to a doctor, to your physician, to someone, right, that that can help guide you into this next part of that journey. Especially like for me, where I've gotten to a more normalized weight, my body has reached some level of homeostasis, and I'm sure I could continue to lose weight if I wanted to push it, but that would require a completely different plan, right, than what I'm used to right now. But talking to your doctor as well to also understand, you know, what is a good ideal weight for you to be at based on your height and, you know, the other factors they like to consider, because what you think you might need to be at might be different than what your body actually wants you to be at and where you can be very healthy staying at too. Yeah. So, and that's why I say like consult someone that you trust or that's a professional in that, because they could help you realize that you're not actually too far off from where you need to be, if at all any, right? So like when I talked to my doctor about like my goal weight, he asked me why. He goes, you're perfectly healthy exactly where you're at right now. He goes, is it for cosmetic reasons? Is it for another reason? Like what are the reasons that are motivating you to get below like where, you know, the science says you're in a great healthy weight, in a great healthy spot?
Yeah.
And ultimately it's your decision, right? And how much you want to push that. But I think it's also like very easy to creep into these obsessive tendencies. The more that you see the results happen, it's like, oh yeah, I've lost all this weight. I can just keep doing this. This is like, I'm going to keep doing this, right? Like I'm never going to not be satisfied basically now at the weight that I'm at. It's like I created a monster within myself, a self-improving monster. But like, that's a very fine line that a lot of people also experience on the other side, right? Taking it too far. The same way that we took it too far with weight on the heavier side, right? So it, again, like it's just like stressing that behavioral side so much. It's really important because we fix a lot of the physical things with us, but no matter how well you diet and how much you exercise, like working on your brain and working in your head is an everyday thing for the rest of your life, no matter what. And so it's like, just that's why I say this is something that I'll always be living with. This journey will always be something that I have, because it's just the way that I was wired for the longest time. And it's, you know, something that you'll live with, very similar to like a condition, right? Or, you know, something that you were predisposed to. It doesn't have to be your story forever, but it's something that you just have to be mindful of.
Yeah. It's a really important point, because there's, as you talk about losing weight, you know, there's a very big difference of losing weight to get healthier. Right. And you talked about it, like you just didn't feel good when you were at 400 plus pounds, right? Like in a daily life, you were scared that you were going to live a shorter life. And so a lot of that was really positive and moved you into a better place health-wise, right?
Right.
It's hard then at some point to start understanding I'm not actually benefiting my health anymore. Right. And from what I've seen, not just with you, but with others that I've talked to who have also lost, you know, 100 plus pounds, that's a very common theme, is you almost go too far the other direction before you kind of find that good middle ground, right? And a lot of that's driven by fear, right? It's fear that I'm going to go back to where I was. And the lower you go, it's like you almost have like a roof that keeps pushing you down, because you don't want to ever go back up, right? So Exactly. Even if you get to a place where like you're actually starting to get too thin, that you're probably not feeling the best, or you've been in a calorie deficit for too long that you're starting to not feel great, you're still terrified of that scale going up even 5 pounds, right? So you almost feel stuck at this kind of like new lower weight. And so I have a few clients that I've been working with now who, you know, they came from they've lost 100 pounds plus, and now their entire goal is to build muscle and mentally be able to eat more. Like they know it. They know that, hey, I want to eat more food. I want to build muscle. Like I want to feel better. I don't feel like I have a lot of energy, but I am like terrified of seeing the scale even go up 2 pounds.
And totally.
That sounds exactly what you're right. Describing.
Absolutely. This concept of like needing to like eat more calories. Like when I look at like, okay, how many calories I actually need in a given day is a lot higher in my mind than the calories that I'm being told I need to have in a daily basis, in my opinion, back then was too high. Like, no, how could that be? Right? Like, how could it be close to 3,000 calories, you know, in a day to eat when, you know, when I was going through rapid weight loss, you know, I was probably consuming anywhere between 1,700 to 2,200 calories a day. Right. And how can I still lose weight by eating more calories? Like that is such a novel concept, right? And something that you have to break, especially then when you start to realize, okay, that you need to feed your body so that it can actually grow for you in the right way. And then you start to understand mm-hmm. the difference between muscle mass and fat, and you go more into like the chemistry of your body. Once you understand some of those components to it as well, I think that makes sense. And you're right. Like there's a specific stage in which that happens. Doesn't happen right away, because like your goal is just like for the longest time, just lose muscle. And you don't realize that like you're losing weight and you're losing muscle at the same time. It's like, I feel like I'm getting stronger, I'm getting leaner, but actually like I'm also pretty weak. My muscles aren't developing the same way. And so, yeah, that's why, I did find a lot of, benefit in strength training too. And, and did a lot of focus on that. And if you can strength train, you can lose weight at the same time, right? You can absolutely do both at the same time. They're not, sure. It's not one or the other. So,
I would highly recommend it.
Yeah. Right. If you can figure out, you know, cause I think the easier thing for especially people who are larger is to gravitate towards cardio.
Yeah.
Cardio is safer. Cardio is easier to use. It's the equipment is easier to use, right? There's less things to go wrong, right? Or less judgment.
Less things for you to learn, right?
Right, exactly. Well, and I didn't know how to use half those machines at the gym, right? And at some point, you know, at the beginning, I was too scared to ask. If I went to the gym by myself, I'm sitting there trying to like look at the instructions and I'm like, this can't be that hard. But I was like, no, like I'll just go and run on the treadmill for 20 minutes and call it a day. My knees would be killing me. And I'm like, oh, I just didn't like that workout. Right. And so it's like, I wanted to figure out how I could get more involved in the strength training. And so my transition actually through that was through HIIT. And so HIIT was great for me at that time because it gave me the familiarity of the cardio side of the exercise, but then it was introducing some muscular endurance technique and equipment into that as well. And not only just like equipment, but equipment that I could use at home, right? So mm-hmm. like the days that I didn't want to go to the gym or I didn't have the equipment to do what I wanted to do, I still had some dumbbells at home and I had a mat and I had some bands and, you know, I could do strength training and resistance training and all that stuff and get a sweat and get my heart rate up. And you know, and so that's why I enjoyed HIIT. And then that obviously introduced me into the world of more like of the traditional weight training, and getting comfortable, getting, you know, sitting on a bench or, you know, doing a squat and all of those things that come with time. And so it was, for me, all building blocks. Grabbing, of course, the things that were most familiar and most comfortable to me, to then, as I was proving to myself that I could, or challenge myself rather, to do something new every single time, that's what opened the door and, you know, opened up this whole world of strength training for me. And so that was a cool little eye-opening moment as well in my exercise journey.
Which is awesome, because we can sit here and we can say, you know what, for the optimal fat loss strategy, like, you need to eat in a calorie deficit. You've got to strength train. You have to hit your protein target. You got to get this much fiber. Like, we can talk about all those things, right? But the reality is, where are you starting? And what is the thing that you're actually going to do in the beginning? And that's what matters the most. Like, even if we know, like, hey, yeah, eventually I think we probably want to get some real strength training in here that is building you some muscle. Okay, well, what are you comfortable with doing now? You want to walk more? Cool, right? You want to do some cardio and you want to go to the gym and do it and run on a treadmill? Awesome, do it. Oh, you want to try a HIIT class out? Awesome, let's try that one now, right? And like you said, it's over time. You have no idea where you're going to actually end up in 2 years from now if you just keep stacking these little wins, because every single time you do it, then you see that next thing and you're like, that doesn't seem that scary, right? Like, I'm already using dumbbells. Why don't I just use dumbbells slower and with bigger dumbbells, right? that's all you're really doing. And I think that's such an important piece, is that there is no necessarily right or wrong answer in all of this, right? Mm-hmm. It's your own journey. And what you just described, I bet if you talk to 100 people who have done the same thing, you'll probably have some similarities. Like, there's probably gonna be some common themes, but I think the things that you physically did are going to vary wildly across the board. And that's because, like you said, there is no map. There isn't one right answer that everybody has. It's really such an individual piece, and you have to be thinking and learning about yourself like you did the entire time.
And you have to have fun with it. Right? If you're not enjoying it and you're not having fun doing it, you're not going to stick with it long term. Like, that's also another key is, okay, I get it. Like, going to the gym is not the most exciting or exhilarating thing. In fact, a lot of us see it as a chore sometimes, right? It's like, oh, I got to go to the gym today. I don't want to go to the gym, but I got to go to the gym, right? So it's like, how can I make it fun? How can I involve my friends? Can I involve my family? Can I take some, if I don't like the biking thing, right? Can I take it outside? Can I, you know, and then once I started, like, you know, biking, I was getting my friends involved in biking, and then we were going on trips, and then we were setting goals, right? Then we want to do a 100-mile bike ride, right? And, you know, and then the training that goes into that, you know, we want to do a sprint triathlon. Like, it opens, it just, like, find ways to challenge yourself, but also have fun in the process of doing it. And it won't seem like such a chore, and it won't seem like this is a means to an end, but rather it's a part of the lifestyle, and it's a positive change that's contributing to a whole slew of benefits. But that is now just a part of your DNA. Like, I don't see myself and talk to people anymore about me being in, like, an active weight loss journey. Although, like, today I told you, I'll always be in that journey. For me, it's like, hey, this is just my lifestyle now. This is like, these are the things that I do. If I don't go to the gym today, I'm going to be crazy. Because it's like, I need that release from work and stress and, you know, whatever else, and just to feel good and make sure that I did my part today. And so it's like, there's, like, ways to make, to over time, make that just feel like it's another part of who you are in your life. Right. And again, if you can make it fun, you have a higher likelihood of sticking through with it.
Yeah. I mean, you have to enjoy it, right? Like, there's always going to be that aspect of, look, sometimes you just have to do your workout. Like, there's that piece of, like, it is sometimes a chore. That's okay. You know, sometimes you just got to do, like, I don't want to brush my teeth every single night, but it's just, sometimes it's just that thing you do. But hopefully over time, you know, you find ways that, like, you do look forward to it. And whether that's the feeling that you have after, or whether it's, you know, that's why I love strength training for people who are motivated to do this, because hitting PRs and watching yourself get new weights, that's a pretty damn good feeling, right?
Yeah,
for a lot absolutely. Of people, especially if you came from a weight loss journey, because you're used to celebrating numbers, right? So it's an easy transition. And from the food standpoint, like you said earlier, find recipes that you actually want to make and actually want to eat. You don't have to eat all chicken breasts and rice and broccoli. That's just not a thing. You know, like people always say when they're trying to eat healthier, they're like, what are some good recipes? Like, I need more recipes. I'm like, you don't need more recipes. Every single recipe exists. Every single one that could possibly be made is on Google in 3 seconds. Like, they're all out there. What do you like to eat? Right? Like, what would you eat tonight if you weren't cooking? Oh, I'd probably go to Panda Express. Awesome. Google Panda Express orange chicken, healthy alternative or macro friendly meal or whatever it is, right? And make that at home. Five Guys burger, cool. Go get some buns, go get some meat, make your own burger at home. Like, do the same exact thing of what you would eat out, and it's still going to be less calories than eating out, right? Because you're gonna control how much oil and butter goes into those things. And it's probably, in a lot of cases, probably going to taste better anyways. Maybe not at first, right? But over time, for sure.
Yeah, it's not processed. And, you know, you bought the chicken and it's fresh yesterday. And, you know, this is crazy too, because if ChatGPT was a real thing for me when I was going through this, it would have been a game changer for me, because I've seen the things that you can do, and it's not perfect like anything else, but you know, you can get really good, you know, diet and exercise, and maybe diet more so than exercise, but diet plans, just, you know, through these AI tools today. Right. And again, like I would say, don't just blindly follow AI, you know, get secondary opinions, but there are so many resources out there that make the accessibility of this information so much better and easier, right? Where take the thinking and the hard things and the mundane things that worry you about transforming yourself out of the picture. If those like moments of friction were removed, like how quickly you would glide across that timeline is the way that I think about it. And so that's what I try to do. And that's the recommendation that I would give to everyone else as well, is like, yeah, it may seem like it's a huge undertaking to figure out, okay, what am I going to go do at the gym on Monday? And then what am I going to do at the gym on Tuesday? Like, what does my week-long plan look like? Right. But, you know, it's whether or not like they might be working with someone like you that can help them, like, you know, take the guesswork out of going to the gym and just showing up and doing the work itself, right? Or there's other resources out there too. So if that's ever like a blocker for you or for anyone, like, figure out, okay, well, how can I not worry about that? How can I not think about that? How do I get past thinking about that and automate that, you know, in that way? And that was also helpful too, because I didn't want to waste too much time, especially too much brain power on writing up a diet plan Monday to Friday. Right. I just didn't want to do that. Right. I did that for a while at the beginning, and it just took a lot of time. It ended up frustrating me. Right. And then I just was like, you know, I'm just going to get into the kitchen, and I'm just going to like get the chicken out. I'm going to get the veggies out. I'm going to get the seasonings that I love. I'm going to get, you know, the sauces that I like. Right. And like figure out like, how do I make this thing as healthy as possible? But still something that I enjoy and that I find, like, the appetizing, right?
Yeah.
And so tons of resources out there. You don't have to do all of the heavy and hard lifting on those types of things on your own. A lot of that work, as you mentioned, has already been done, and it's out there and it's free.
Love it. Awesome, man. Should we wrap it there?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, anything else that you want to say? One, you know, I appreciate you coming back on. Like, there's just so much. There's so much knowledge from someone who has actually done it, right? I think there, when you look at there, that just in the landscape, there's so much advice out there. There's so much noise in the fitness space of like, this is what you need to do. This is what is optimal, like all these things. And yet somewhere along the way, we forget to just ask people who have actually done it themselves, right? So I appreciate you sharing all this, because I think it's super helpful for someone to hear a real person talk about their own experience, their own struggles, and being able to accomplish something that's truly amazing. So thank you for that. Is there anything else, Zach, you just want to say to other people that wherever they are on their journey that you think will help them?
Well, thanks again for having me on to get to talk about this, because, you know, when you've gone through something like this, there's this natural desire to pay it forward, right? And so having this platform and being able to share this with a whole bunch of other listeners is such an opportunity and an honor. So thank you for that. You know, if I would leave with anyone who's going through, if I'm leaving something with anyone who's listening today, I would really just tell them to believe in themselves and to just be okay with little moments where they might fail, and just realize that you can overcome anything, and you can overcome those failures, and to not let those failures stop you from ultimately seeing your goal. It is possible, and consistency is everything. So again, thanks, Herman. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Zach. Bye, everybody.